around.
A mom.
Well, my mom and dad, my dad also co-signed. By that time, we were in better straits and so forth. And they brought distant relatives who had contacted us. They were to have done this with a family, a Buca family in California. And they were to have all been responsible. And some were to have settled there and some were to have settled here. They came through Pittsburgh. This was usually their first stop. And we housed a lot of, I think they were distant relatives. Maybe some were not. And most, I don't know of any that he ever had to maintain or support. My mom lent money. In fact, to this day, I have some German silver that the people insisted that she take for collateral, and she didn't want. And of course, what they were doing was giving her a gift because they would never, never take it back. And I have that beautiful piece of silver. And they did very, very well. And Mary's family, my cousin Mary, who I adore, my baby cousin.
What's her full name?
Harrison. They lived with us for a little bit. Her dad lived with us for a full year before his family of two daughters and a wife came over.
Where were you living then?
We were living on Whiteman Street, I think. And had an okay house. And he was busy learning the language and being very, very lonely and frightened. And he also did learn some accounting skills. And they came about a year and a few months later, and they did move into an apartment in Oakland, but the relationship was very, very close. And my dad was very interested in getting him work, and I don't remember the circumstances. He was unable to work for my dad for one reason or another, and my dad did get him work with Ornitz Steel, that was his brother, and learned that they put him in some laboring kind of job, and my father, whose good friend was this man, never really spoke to him again afterwards. Anyhow, he moved on from there. My aunt Tola, who's really a cousin, I think, very dignified, very beautiful woman, and they were, Mary can cite some very unhappy incidents, but none relating to my mom. My mom was strong and quite a character, and, you know, an animal lover, animal, I don't know what she'd belong to now, but, you know, she'd see the Iceman whipping a horse and she would take the whip off him. I mean, she put herself in, she was a character. She rode public transportation when we were real, real little, and she used to market down in town where the marketplace was. And it was very difficult for her to carry the bags. And so she figured out that she could carry suitcases easier. And one of our neighbors accused her of bootlegging. She was incensed. Well, she also was very articulate. Anyhow, we were lived in East End in those days, and there were not a lot of Jews around. And she took care of that.
What do you mean she took
care of
that?
Well, she defended herself and in every which way.
Was there much anti-Semitism at that point?
Somewhat. It was a Catholic parish, and yes, I would say so. I think it was felt by all of us. But as I say, she took care of not my dad. I was off on a kick. Was it Jim, or did I lose you altogether? I was going to talk about my grandfather Weinthal and his family. Right, right. And I left the two sisters of my father in New York. One remained a maiden lady, and one married very, very well. all the cousins converted from Judaism.
My from father, Judaism. Yes.
And I don't know how many there were, but my dad did try to collect his family at one time from looking in the phone book and so forth, and they were appalled and didn't visit with him and didn't encourage him at all. The one aunt that married and stayed in New York, I said she did well. Her son did well. She had an only son. And
what was her name?
Rose Bronstein.
Okay.
And Eli Bronstein was her son. And he remained close with my dad. And he was a fancy-dancy divorce lawyer. His two sons are lawyers. And he had an office in the Empire State Building, which I thought was the live-in.
Sure.
And his wife was Molly Brill, and they owned the Brill Building. And they were our glamorous part of the family. But my dad supported his mother with him, which I thought was so noble. And never complained, but that was because of my grandmother. He had much loyalty to her. And that's about the end of that family, because I didn't keep up with them. They came here for funerals, and they remained glamorous to the very end. They came for my wedding. And the boys, I don't know at all. The boys. 60,
yeah. 65. Yeah. Well, when you were a child, you went to Sunday school.
I went
school.
To Sunday school, no Hebrew school. I never learned Hebrew in Rhode of Sholem. The only Hebrew we learned was the Shema, and that was at the height of our assimilation. I had a very, very large. I have the shofar here, you know, from when I was confirmed. And I had a class of about 115, 125, and very lively, a lot of fun. I wasn't too social because my parents were much older than my friend's parents, and they didn't cotton to that stuff, and I had grown up in the East End, and I was new to Squirrel Hill,
mm-hmm.
And there was too much going on for my mother to digest.
Yeah.
And it didn't hurt. It didn't matter. She was, I learned about overnight camp. I learned about a lot of things. I never went to camp until I was 13. And I went to camp in
what
New Hampshire.
Camp?
Yeah, I was Camp Spirit Girl.
I love it.
And I got a loving cup, which my boys used to throw baseballs in.
Tell us a little more about your school days. With friends and where you went to school and so
I
forth.
I went to Friendship School. I lived on Graham Street, and all of my friends, which I occasionally hear from even today, were Catholic. Some of them were Italian Catholics, and some of them were Irish Catholics. I liked school very, very much. I moved to Squirrel Hill when I was just entering sixth grade, and my parents arranged for me to go back to Friendship School to graduate sixth grade or eighth grade, I really can't remember, and have lunch with this wonderful Irish family. And I was introduced to potato soup there with lots of pepper, and I still think about it, but I don't make it for me. And their name was Cunningham.
Do you want to answer?
I think.
So you were eating potatoes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was sort of
I think Whiteman had eighth grade. I'm not sure about these things, but I did continue for 2 years in Whiteman. Wherever I was, if I was in fourth grade, I continued. But it was very important that I go that 1 year to finish up. And I loved Whiteman School. And I'm proud to say that all our children went to Whiteman School. Alder Dice was a little much for me. but I liked it, and I did all right. I think Squirrel Hill was much more social. I was still playing Kick the King, and they were playing Kissing Games. And Sunday school was extremely social. I really didn't like it. I was quite uncomfortable there. And though, you know, I participated in everything. I was on the newspaper there and the shofar, and in the Senate they had a representative group that spoke out for the students. But I just really didn't love the emphasis on parties and stuff like that.
Did you feel like an outsider?
I think maybe that was it. I never could quite catch up. You know? But I wasn't an unhappy adolescent. I got to go to camp, and that kind of, at 13, as I say, and that kind of was a leveler. But my mother didn't like any of us being away. We were always to be around the nest. They came up and they vacationed in New Hampshire and various things. And then the second year I came home from camp, my parents came up for vacation and brought me home. It was very near the end of camp, and it was okay, but it was an abrupt ending to a two wonderful summers. They were just ideal. And I think that had a good effect on my attitude toward life. I love being outdoors, and I think that came about there, and I still do. I think I became more comfortable then, mm-hmm. Socially. I was more at ease with a lot of my parents' strictness after camp, believe it or not, and that worked for me. But it also impelled me to ask, to start thinking about going away more often. And neither my brother nor my sister went away to college, but I did.
Tell me about the strictness. Were they more so than your friends?
Oh yes. Very definitely, and particularly when I moved to Squirrel Hill. It was nothing. I wasn't allowed to date. It was nothing. It was a set of rules. And to this day, I operate under yes or no. I always forget you have options. I never was a good negotiator. And maybe I could have. I don't know. But my sister was busy making me happy. This is the way it is. And so I accepted it, I guess, but I didn't like, it was a difference to other kids, I think. I think that's what it might have been.
What were they allowed to do that you couldn't?
Parties. Parties, and they were allowed to go out. 14-year-olds were, you know, dating. They might have even been taken by their parents, but there was a time when the boys started to drive, when I never got into a car, you know, and till I was 16, till I was in confirmation class. So it was different. And I think little girls were sensitive at those times, too,
sure.
Those flanges of time.
I'd hate to change the subject, but you mentioned the shofar. Was that
a publication.
A Sunday school publication.
Yes. And I don't remember how many times it came out, but the confirmation issue featured the class and the pre-cons, and that was the important thing, though every class was represented in it.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
I can show you
have one.
Okay. Sure.
Well, later? Not now.
Yeah,
later.
Yeah. Okay.
And you were on the staff?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did some funny things. ask me a question.
All right. What sort of health care was available to you at that time or you experienced?
Well, we always gave the doctor the last chance. And we were not schooled in preventative medicine or anything like that. And if you got sick, you tried various things. They might have been valid, but you tried them on your own. My mother was a great consoler, and she believed in hot water bottles, and I can tell you a lot of remedies that could throw you but she did it with such confidence that she made us get well. And I can't remember any of us ever being hospitalized. My mother was well. My dad had an ulcer during the war, but I understand now that it was a virus, so we were blessed because we had butter and milk and cream in the house.
Yeah. Did you have a family doctor?
We did. We had a family doctor.
Who was he?
His name was Dr. Lloyd. And Dr. Lloyd counseled my husband the week before we got married. I mean, he was really a family doctor. He did a lot over the phone. He was a painfully thin man, and he died of stomach cancer, and as I think back, I think he was ailing for not many years, but quite a few years. And he practiced family medicine came to the house in the highest sense of the word. Is that what you, the sort
yeah,
of thing you want
yeah,
to know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was born at home, incidentally.
Okay,
my mother had a bitter experience in the hospital with having her first baby, which was my sister. And her brother saved her. I don't know where her OB was, but her fingers had turned, her nails had turned blue, and my dad, in hysteria, got her brother, and whatever was wrong was righted. I never did learn. And she never would go to the hospital. In fact, I want you to know that the nurse stays with you to see that you take your pills because of my mother, who didn't trust medicine. And that was many years ago when she was older and very ill, would hide her medicine under her pillow. And she really didn't have a lot of respect for pills and unnatural things. My mother-in-law, on the other hand, was very ill all her married life and dependent upon doctors and very respectful and a good patient. My mother was a terrible patient. She once had pneumonia that was the most frightening thing in the world, but that's the only time I can remember her being ill. My sister was a little more delicate than my brother and myself. She would get bronchitis and that sort of thing, and with some regularity.
What was your mother's home remedies for that?
Oh, she would put her head under something and steam her.
Good.
And lots of tea and honey.
Uh-huh.
And chicken soup. Well, she believed in hot things.
She's right. She was right.
I mean, and when you would cut yourself, I was the klutz in the family, and I have the worst scarred knees you can ever imagine. My dad would get me quiet by putting a dirty old quarter on it, or if it was really big, a dollar, I don't remember, and it got better. Made me feel better anyhow.
How was Pittsburgh different then in your younger years than it is now?
Well, I really, of course it was much simpler. Most people were one car families, and we had lots of help in the house. That's very different. We were at home more, I think. I think the pleasures were simpler, the picnics. I don't know families now that would go on picnics anymore.
You went on a lot of them?
A lot of them. My mother and dad would organize car upon car upon car. We would drive out in tandem to Idlewild Park, and they organized the games and so forth, and there were many, many children there, in excess of 30, 40 kids. And I don't see that. I see them depending on commercial kinds of activities.
Well, there's a difference in transportation. I mean, I don't have to tell you, but I think you're asking me what, almost what I missed. I don't know.
Well, that might be, if you miss it, there was something there that's not there now.
I think there was less scientific attitude, much less. It was hit or miss. And, discipline was completely different. I mean, when I say to Jerome, I'm going to make you time out, he knows I'm serious. I never even heard such a word. Do you know what time out is?
No, I do. Grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spankings?
Spankings, yes. Spankings without regret. With a lot of confidence. Vacations were very, very different. Although I see a turnaround. The camps, I think, have gotten so expensive that we're back to a family kind of vacation, or am I wrong? People travel together. I don't know. They were important parts of my life, those vacations.
Family vacations.
Yeah.
Where could you name some of the places you
went?
Yes,
I can name all of them. Atlantic City.
That was it. A lot of Pittsburghers went to Atlantic City. Do you remember where you stayed? What hotel?
Yes, when we were young, we stayed at a family hotel called Newmark's. And my mother packed large trunks, and we stayed almost 2 months. And I remember my brother getting scarlet fever there, and everybody bringing sand in from the beach so he could play in the room.
Aww.
Wonderful.
Mrs. Newmark probably didn't like
she
it.
She was a Hungarian, and she oversaw a kitchen second to none, and she still had a Hungarian accent. She walked around the dining room with a whip, a little stick. Because there were so many kids. Newmark's Hotel.
Oh, so much. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we went to a place called Schoenfeld, Villa Des. Mm-hmm. And that was another kind of a hotel. We went there because my parents had already tried the Boardwalk hotels, and we went from the St. Charles to the Shelburne to the this to the that. And then the war came, and those hotels were given over as hospitals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we went to this wonderful family hotel again, and it was on a more sophisticated level than Newmark. But that's my husband. But we had already... Hi, Dad.
Didn't you? Okay.
Well, there's going to be a grand big hello. He's going to speak.
It's all right.
That was a very nice time. In fact, I witnessed the J-Day at Schoenfeld Hotel, not Schoenberg.
They have a parade? Or?
There was just the delirium. The soldiers were still in the hospital. The hospital was not so big. I think it was called the England General Hospital. It took over all these hotels along the boardwalk. And it was the amputees, the people that needed rehab physically, that were in these hospitals. And it was devastating to walk the boardwalk and to see this, look at me, to see this ecstasy, knowing that the fighting was completely over. It's indelible. The soldiers went away, and everything came
back to normal,
like it didn't exist.
Okay, that's very interesting.
Good, do you have some time?
Okay.
Okay.
Now, after high school, where did you?
I was to go to the University of Pittsburgh,
okay.
And I had a childless aunt and uncle. And I had an uncle, Eli, who were very, very close. And she would be my champion. She was my advocate in the family because, again, my mother, with her German thrift, and I was in this new setting in Squirrel Hill. I didn't go to the right stores and so forth. Can you turn that off for me? Hospital. That took over all these hotels. If not,
I don't know how to correct that.
Well, we can find that.
Okay.
Now, we were talking about college.
Oh, college.
Yeah, yeah. Where?
Anyhow, they prevailed, this aunt and uncle, upon my parents to let me at least apply to school. This was wartime now.
Uh-huh.
And to let me at least apply to school within the 250-mile radius. Well, that was very limiting. The best school that I applied to was Goucher, and they didn't even... This was summer already.
Mm-hmm.
And the lesser school that I applied to was Madison College in Harrisonburg, Virginia. They were really dying on their feet, and they accepted me pending my transcript coming. They didn't even say you'd be acceptable. So I did go down there, and that was really very brave of me, because I didn't know a soul. I'd never even been to Virginia, I don't think. And I...
Hello?
You can sit if you...
Oh, I know I sit.
This is not in Virginia.
In Harrisonburg, Virginia, between Roanoke and Washington. No, between Richmond and Washington. Excuse me. Right on the main drag.
Okay.
It's now bypassed. And I loved it. My parents gathered up gasoline and drove me down. And
co-ed school?
No. Oh, I wasn't allowed to go co-ed. That was another thing. And this one, now you won't believe this, but we had to have lights out at 11 in our dormitory at 10 or 10:30. It doesn't matter. The only thing we were allowed to do at night was in the library. And we were campused when the soldier convoy came through. Absolutely campused, couldn't leave. And you have to have a dating slip. And, you know, boys would come through and say, oh, you know, I knew Ruth Weinthal, and she's in Harrisonburg. And they camped right outside there. They were practicing mountain climbing in the West Virginia mountains. And they were coming up from one of the big camps in the South. And anyhow,
army camp.
Okay. And these convoys would be hundreds of trucks, hooting and hollering. It was marvelous. It was sad too. Anyhow, that my parents, in line, they were very consistent, and they said so. There were certain rules that I had to adhere to go to college, which was limiting too. Anyhow, I loved it. And
what was your major?
Psychology. What? When was your father born, dear?
Well, he was 76 when he died in 1972, so he was born 4 years before the turn of the century.
1896. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Mine was 86.
I'm wrong, Libra.
I'm sorry, this is Jean Gershon.
Well.
Okay. And sisters?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
I was right on that.
That's 3 generations without getting any girls, I think.
But you do now.
Do
you do now.
I got to interrupt you to show you the bouquets I got for the girls.
Oh, they're going to a... Let me see. Okay.
Well, let's go on.
Yeah.
And we'll look at them later.
Okay.
Now, we're talking... you were a psych major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I bring you in a plate of coffee, Kate?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
All right. It's almost at the end. We'll have you
minute. All right.
And you graduated, and any special honors at graduation?
No, I was a B student, and I loved college, and I horsed around like crazy. There wasn't much horsing to do. I have to go. It's the ring.
Okay.
Right. Okay. I was very alone there. There were a few Jewish women. My first experience was with a roommate from Canada whose father was a tobacco grower. And it was very difficult to phone because of the war and so forth, long distance. And in the middle of a nice big wooden hall that reverberated, she called her parents to ask if she could room with a Jew. And we were roommates for 2 years until she transferred. And she learned a lot, and so did I.
What did you do about
holidays?
Holidays and such.
There was a small Jewish community which I adored.
Where?
in Harrisonburg, and a couple prominent families, wonderful Southern Jewish people. And in fact, the boarding house at which we stayed, there was just a seedy old hotel at which my parents stayed when they came down, was owned by people by the name of Wise, and they were sort of my surrogate family down there. And people that owned the department store, their name was Ney, N-E-Y, and they were so hospitable and so wonderful. I taught Sunday school, didn't know a darn thing. I could only go out on Sundays if I went to church, so if I had a date, I would go to Sunday school because I didn't have a church. And I dated Jewish boys. My mother had a terror of my being there, but there were a lot of nearby schools, Washington and Lee, and University of Virginia, and...
Great, huh?
Yeah.
I'm
going to
put him downstairs in the refrigerator.
Okay, honey. He doesn't know I'm okay. And
you're talking about dating Jewish
people. Yeah, and I had a very good time. I had a friend that had a heart murmur, and he never went to war. It was wonderful.
Where are the boys from that town?